proved or disproved Lyle Lovett's theory, there are bears in Arkansas.
Is it true? Yes, I think true. I know
there
that.
There are bears in Arkansas. Well, what was your week like?
Well, it was a quiet week with you gone, Phil. We've missed you all so much. In fact, I think we've lost membership. Everyone's crying out, where is Phil? Phil. But despite that, we carried on, and I did a bit of fall fishing, which was great, and worked on my fall yard work. That's my week.
Any stuff for the smoker?
Nothing for the smoker. No, everything went back to the river.
Dissuading people from going out and catching fish.
That's right. No one should try it. It just doesn't work.
Well, the week is turning more fall-like. There was a crisp in the air the last couple of days I've been back that wasn't there when I left. And according to the National Weather Service, today it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 60. Then things are going to start to drop. Tonight it hits the mid-30s, 37 for the low, with a 20% chance of showers. Tomorrow, that percentage chance of showers increases to 40%, and the high will only be 50. And that's pretty much the way we find the rest of the week. The highs in the 50s, the lows in the 30s, and an ever-increasing chance of showers. And I suspect a little bit of snow in the higher country.
I think so. It's feeling like fall out there, and it's beautiful fall color.
It's a nice transition period.
It sure is. And speaking of transitions, let's transition into our morning guest, our first guest of the morning. This morning, we're going to be joined by Trinity Nicholson and her associate, Jim Dubasson. Did I get it right, Jim?
Dubasson is fine.
All right. Anyway, Trinity is the co-administrator with Panhandle Special Needs, and Jim is on the board. Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here.
Welcome to the morning show.
Thank you.
Thanks. Why don't you take a minute and tell us just a little bit about the organization?
Well, Panhandle Special Needs, which most people call PISNE, it's been here a long time, opened in 1975, and such a community-driven organization back then. The building was built by donated materials, by donated labor. So labor of love, for sure. But we are a facility that does training for adults with disabilities in Bonner and Boundary County. We have people that come in from Clark Fork, Bonners, Priest River for employment services and life skills training. In 2014, we added adult day services, so more of a social recreational piece to the program. And really, it just keeps growing and growing. We're serving 80 to 100 individuals a year in a variety of the programs. And we really, have a knack for customizing a service plan. Mm-hmm. So if it's employment supported by life skills, if there's a need for that social piece, we do that. But really, our mission is to help people be as independent as they can and live, work, and play in their communities.
And the adult day services are targeted to the same population, or are those targeted to the caregivers?
No, same population, but it's the more significantly disabled and the disabled who are getting older. So traditional elderly services in the community aren't equipped really to handle some of the behavioral issues or the unique care that the disabled mm-hmm. community brings with it.
Sure. Do you have a stated mission statement for the organization?
I wish I had that with me.
Oh, darn it. I hate when I ask a question.
But,
like
I can almost say it, that our mission is to promote the economic and social integration of people with disabilities into their local communities.
You did a good job. That sounds like a perfect
mission.
That's
impressive. If that's not the mission, it should be.
It's really close. I can't take credit for the author of that.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with this.
Oh my gosh. I love this organization. Surprisingly, when I was in high school, way back in the day, in the 80s, I worked in the summers at Panhandle Special Needs. Back then, they were predominantly just employment and, employment services. They had a cut shop, a wood shop, that was run basically off of one contract with, I think it was called P&E, the mill back then, and they did play school blocks. So our clients, they ran the cut, the saws, everything. And so I worked in the summers way back when, and when I went away to college, I continued working with people with disabilities to get through school and then moved back and had, of course, other adventures with other companies, but then came back in 2000 to PISNY and opened up the life skills training portion of the program. And I love it.
And Jim, how did you come to be on the board?
I guess that's a fairly long process. I actually worked for the state for 29 years in Medicaid programs. And originally, Medicaid had, the state had programs similar to what Trinity's running now. And it worked into mostly an administrative program of administrating different programs within the communities in the state. And then about, 4 or 5 years ago, I retired in 2009, but I decided to get on the board with PISNY for about 4 years ago.
And what a great resource, because back in the day, Jim issued licenses to me many times and reviewed our facility. And you have to have a license, of course, to provide the services that we do. So what a great person to have on your board, somebody with all that experience with the state funding and rules and regs, because we're riddled with them. We are, part of our program is Medicaid funded. So the life skills training, what is actually called developmental therapy, is a Medicaid funded program, and it is the most heavily regulated. The adult day center, I guess that's also Medicaid funded as well. But our employment programs are funded through the Idaho Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, which actually, not to get too far into politics, but that budget comes out of the education budget, where the other services come out of the Medicaid budget. And that's a really tight budget. It's a tough pool to be in to fight for funds. We're always looking for support legislatively to support our programs. Right now, our developmental therapy in the state of Idaho represents about less than 1% of the Medicaid budget. And it's always a go-to program for cuts.
And it's been a number of years since you've had any raises.
Over 12. 12 years of no funding increases.
Wow. Funding increase.
And we just kept getting more and more people.
And so how do you augment your funding when the state hasn't been able to?
You diversify. You diversify. Wow. Which, it can be good and bad. You can't be good at everything. So it's hard to keep adding new things and new things that waters down what you're best at. So you have to be particular. But we have the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. So that program not only brings in a little bit of money.
And you have the cabin also, right?
Yes, the cottage as
the
well.
The cottage. That's
yep.
It.
So we have the greenhouse and the cottage. So both of those programs allow us venues to train employment skills. So we like that. And then they do bring in some supplemental income.
Can you take a moment and just tell us about the greenhouse and the cabin? I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah.
The cottage.
So the greenhouse, we used to be a full-on greenhouse, bedding plants, vegetables, and we are not anymore. So we now just sell baskets, but we're always looking for opportunities to grow that program, and we use it to train.
No pun intended.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And then the cottage is our thrift store, and it's such a cute little place. We didn't open that up until 2010, I think, is when the cottage came in. Mm-hmm. And it's a thrift store, no clothing, so it's just home and garden, and super cute. Go to the thrift store.
And
you'll
books.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, and books.
Great
books.
Library.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to check that out. I haven't been to that that particular one yet.
It's very cute.
So both of those sound like they provide not only funding sources, but opportunities for some of the skills that you're able to teach.
Yes, very much so. And the cottage is very unique. We have about 40 volunteers that run the cottage. So we don't have any paid employees that keep those doors open. So that's a real big deal and really important to our program.
And tell us about the other facilities, because the training and the other services you provide sound like they need to take space.
They do. They do. So for each of our programs, we have center-based employment. Clients who are not ready to work in the community, they have behavioral issues or skills that need to be gained before they can go out in the community. Those clients work in our center and working on contracts that we try to bring in. We're always looking for contracts that can come in-house. Right now, Lignetics is our main contract, and we bag Firestarter for them. They're great support to us. We have community-based employment, so people who we teach them how to interview, write resumes, go out and get jobs in the community and then support them at those jobs. So job coaching them, helping them make sure they have good hygiene, they bring their lunch, things like that. The life skills training is menu plan, shopping, cooking, housekeeping, laundry, and budgeting is our specialty. We are really well known for training people to manage their finances and their benefit packages. This year alone, we helped 7 people move out of their parents' homes, or maybe they were living with a care provider, and into their own apartments. And that's a big deal. Everybody gets excited about that.
And after they've accomplished something like that, do they continue to receive support from you, or are they fully independent?
It depends. We have some that are fully independent. But, I'd say from 30 hours a week is the most the state would ever pay someone to get for services in combination. So you can range anywhere from there. 2 to 3 hours a week is a pretty standard maintenance program. Somebody might want just look that checkbook over, check for math errors, just that little touch in to make sure there's nobody giving them trouble at their apartment, or they haven't let somebody move in or getting taken advantage of in some way. We're always watching for that.
So this sounds like a lot of work. How big a staff do you have?
it is a lot of work, but it's so fun. We have 25 staff, and we have 29 client employees. Mm-hmm. So clients employed that get paychecks through the program.
And how many of those, we were talking a little bit before the show, most of them are volunteers?
No, we have 25 paid employees. Okay. We have up to around 40, although I don't know we have that many more volunteers that help run the cottage specifically. Okay. Which that was one of our board members, Lois Miller, started the cottage, or the idea of it, and then the board just took it from there, got it up and running, and then just brought volunteers in to keep the doors open. So they run the till and all that good stuff.
Sure. And you said that many of the paid employees are clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great.
In our work center, that's where clients are preparing to go out to community jobs. But while they're at PISNY working and getting those skills, they get paid as well.
Yeah. So it's a win-win.
It is a win-win.
I would imagine, like many organizations, you're looking for volunteers. And sometimes we have listeners who hear a guest or a story and they want to get involved. If they want to get involved, how can they find out more information?
Go to our website, panhandlespecialneeds.org. You can find out everything about our program, each program individually, who the contact people are, phone numbers. And, of course, there's a place to donate as well.
And you mentioned that it's easy to become diluted and not focus on the most important needs of your clients. Are there areas of particular focus right now?
Well, for us, we provide services to adults. We don't provide services to children. There's mental health services versus developmental therapy. And so there's a lot of directions you can go. But like I said, sometimes, you try to do everything. And just because you're trying to keep your doors open, that it gets more and more difficult to be, to have a quality program. So we do provide services only to adults, and it's employment and life skills training, and then the recent addition of the adult day.
Yeah, very important areas.
Yeah, we love it.
Very much so.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY in Ponderé, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And this morning, our guests are Trinity Nicholson and Jim Dubuisson with the Panhandle Special Needs. During the first half of the show, we have some other guests in the second half, and we're talking about the services, which are of immense value to the community. And I'm curious, how do you come to the connection with the clients that you serve? How are they referred to you, or how do they find you?
A lot of ways. Many times people are referred and through the kind of through health and welfare, through the system in that way. But we're connected with the schools. So as kids are graduating high school, that we work with the schools so they know what's available for adults. Folk rehab is where we get referrals for our employment programs. And I guess word of mouth and parents, the parent network is pretty tight. And in particular, in Sandpoint, it's a great place to train and work with people with disabilities, because the community really does take an active role. And, if you shop at the same place at the same day, around the same time, you get to know the cashiers, they get to know you, people are helpful in that way. So Sandpoint's a really good community to have a program like ours.
It does seem I've seen folks working in your program around town, and it's great to see folks out working, and they seem really happy, though.
Yeah.
Guys and gals I've seen.
So. They're good workers.
To hear.
Yeah.
They're excellent workers.
Yeah.
So, Jim, tell us about the board, Jim. It's a working board, I understand. So,
it is a working board. It's small. It's composed of around 7 members at the moment, and certainly always looking for more. We don't have a volunteer coordinator, and there's a number of things that aren't missing. So, between the staff and the board, everything is picked up. We have to pick up any fundraising at all, and any grant writing. Trini and Jean do most of the grant writing. So
we're learning.
Yeah, we're all learning. It's a process, but I have to hand it to the staff of this of PISNY. It is probably one of the hardest working staff and most versatile and willing staff I've run into. So I'm proud to be on that board.
I have an additional question about how y'all work with other organizations and even the state. There must be an interface between what the state does for disabled and folks like that, and then work that you all do. Is it a close relationship?
Well, I don't know about the state. You know, there's like a state school hospital, but that's getting more and more obsolete.
Yes,
as the push is to have clients out in the community and not in institutions. Where we network the most is local supports, making sure people have energy assistance, their food stamps, the food bank, all the resources that clients need to be able to access. You know, most of them live on SSI. That's about $750 a month. And that's a real tight budget to live on.
Sure.
So networking locally, the funding for the program, you know, is through health and welfare, and clients are given what's like an individual budget, and then you have to fit services into that package, and it's a tiny, tiny package.
Yes. I have to say I hadn't really thought about it. You know, you're a person who receives your Social Security, but you don't really get any counseling on how to live.
No,
do you?
No, you do not. And and of course, big mistakes. You know, silly things that buying tons of soda instead of, making a menu and not paying your rent, not paying your bills, signing up for things on TV, getting, duped into purchasing something that somebody's come to your house. People moving in with you, will show up to work with the client and be like, there's a bunch of somebody else's stuff is here. Who's here?
Oh, my.
When we track them down, we are bird dogs there. We really work hard to keep our clients safe and healthy.
Yeah, you're really caring for folks that maybe would have slipped through the cracks if not for your organization.
Very much so. We do a lot of pro bono, because not everybody qualifies. So there's that cutoff, and if you're a half a IQ point over, you don't qualify. And so that's just not right. So a lot of people know to come to us, and even like people who are dating, we're serving the partner, and their significant other doesn't qualify. Well, they're a package deal. You know they are.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Well, are there any interesting success stories you can share without giving away someone's, too much of their personal story? Any really good ones?
Well, I had hoped to have somebody here today, and I couldn't make that happen. But a gentleman who just recently moved out, he moved out in July. And when he first came to our program, living up in Bonners and busing in, he was mission focused. He wanted to move out more than anything. And parents, that's a scary thing. Parents are nervous, and we're always looking for, where the pitfall is going to be. And so as he started preparing, he would save his money just to apply to get on wait list for apartments. That's like, 20, 30 bucks to put your application in. And he was diligent, started giving away his pets because he's like, he'd learned that's more of a deposit. It costs more to have pets. And just seeing all these little windows open of reality was super fun. And then when he really didn't think his folks were going to let him move, they did.
Yeah. That's sweet.
And he's so happy. Oh, my gosh.
And you mentioned busing. I would imagine one of the challenges are some of the fundamental life choices, not only because of the tight budget, but the special needs the clients have of housing and transportation and making sure those things work.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Transportation is the biggest barrier in living rural. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the facilities that run in like Boise and some of those bigger areas don't have the same challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You do got to pick where you live wisely.
Right.
And or so, your services will be limited. Yeah, and you'll
sometimes
have,
that's hard to do, even, you know, even in the city environment here, finding adequate work close to adequate housing.
We battle with the state a little bit on the types of services we provide. People are coming from Newport and Priest River, you know, Clark Fork, places we don't serve. And some of the training they don't like in a facility, like cooking is a program they don't like to see in a facility-based setting. The natural environment is their home, and we can't get to them. So we have a full kitchen, and we do train that, but we don't get paid to.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So we've got a few minutes left. Tell us about how individuals who might not have the time to volunteer can support the organization and the mission. Are there memberships or donations or upcoming events?
Well, the best way, you know, we're a 501c3, so tax deductible donations, and we probably get our most donations at the end of the year when people are making those decisions. So keep us in mind. Check out the website; you can see where you can donate on our account there. We are doing a wood raffle right now, and Jim, you'll have to remind me where our buckets are.
Let's see. Right now, they're at the 219 Club and at ANP's. Across the street, and let's see, at iCarts, at Turvan, at the Elks Club. I'm sure I'm missing one or two.
And at Pisney.
At Pisney,
at our location.
You can always call Pisney and find out how to get involved in that, too.
The website's your best bet, which is panhandlespecialneeds.org. And then for our upcoming projects right now, we're recovering the greenhouse, and that's a big project that is about $2,500. We're creating a sensory room, which we're really excited about. And we do have some paving and some ramps. And for us, with donations and support from the community, it's really important. Mostly, anytime we have a tiny bit of extra money, which is not often, because the funding is so low, you bring in the next person. You don't get new carpet. You just don't. We have about 17 people on the waiting list, and we have since the day we opened our doors. So, you know, you're going to help the next person. That's just what you're going to do.
And we've grown in clientele from about 40 in our
we're at
65
65 right now. And in the past, I'd say 4 years.
Right. And then in employment, we have another, 40?
Yeah, 100 clients roughly in all phases of programming. So, you know, and funding, you just need it.
Yeah.
It's part of... And for the projects you've mentioned, are you looking for both volunteers and donations, or donations?
Both. For the greenhouse, that's a big project. Just imagine lifting, you know, 40 feet of plastic has got to come up over this big building. So we are looking for somebody to actually head up that project.
Okay. The cottage needs a lot of help right now. We need some volunteers that are willing to work in the cottage.
Yeah, that's our biggest need.
It's a big push right now.
So. In the winter, a lot of you know, elderly folks volunteer at the cottage, and they're wonderful. But we have a lot of snowbirds.
Sure.
So we know it's going to start to get a little more dicey for us to keep that.
However, folks should think about it. That might be a fun volunteer job.
Mm-hmm. It can be.
Through the cottage and helping people.
And you get to see the clients every day, so you see who you're helping, and that's really
motivating. Yeah, that's rewarding.
Very.
Well, it's a great way to meet people in the community and learn more about Sandpoint. And for those who especially might be new to the community, here's a good volunteer opportunity.
Yeah, schedule a tour. We'd love it.
Well, we want to thank you both for coming in this morning, and look forward anytime you have an update or the program. Please feel free to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short song break here, and then we'll be back in the second half with Bob and Chris Turner from the American Long Distance Hiking West talking about the upcoming Fall Fest hiker gathering in Coeur d'Alene this coming weekend. But right now, we're going to play a little John Prine. Today, John Prine turns 71. It's his birthday. And in 1971, his first self-titled debut album was released. Did you know he was discovered by Kris Kristofferson?
I did not know that.
Yeah, who was reported to have said, John Prine's songs were so good, we'll have to break his thumbs.
Oh.
So he went on and helped him to produce his first album, which gives us many of John Prine's classics. One of my favorites, and you often hear local musicians play it, is Angel from Montgomery. John Prine and Bonnie Raitt with John Prine's classic Angel from Montgomery. Welcome back to the morning show right here at 88.5 KRFY in Pendre. We had a great first half with folks from the Panhandle Special Needs. Really, really interesting what they do and how they go about doing it.
It really was. I didn't know much about the organization. I'm happy they joined us.
The Greenhouse and the Cottage. Everybody go check them out.
That's right.
We're into the second half here, talking about hiking, one of our favorite topics, with Bob and Chris Turner from the American Long Distance Hiking Association West. We want to hear a little bit about the organization and then about the event coming up this weekend, the Fall Hiker Fest. So welcome, Bob, Chris.
Hello, Phil. Good morning.
So let's delve in. We have some longtime listeners who might be familiar with the organization. We've featured some events before, but we also have always new listeners. So tell us a little bit about the American Long Distance Hiking Association West and your involvement with it.
All right. Yeah, we've been involved with ALDA West since 1994. So quite a while. It was originally formed as a support for long distance hiking, getting people to make the move from weekend trips to long distance. It has grown from, I think, about 30 people when we got involved, and I believe our membership's over 300 now. And one of the key things that we're known for is we are the curators, I guess you'd call us, of the Triple Crown. It's a recognition to the people who have hiked the Continental Divide, the Appalachian Trail, and the Pacific Crest Trail.
Phil holds that.
Right.
Phil, and I believe Deb
does. And
Deb. Right. Yes. Yeah.
We've got a few Triple Crowners locally
right.
here.
Right. Fred.
Yeah. Fred.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just across the Washington border, Laura. Beads.
Yes.
Correct.
Which, speaking of Beads, she'll be at our event.
Yeah. Right. Very nice. And what about you two? Have you completed any of the long hikes?
We've done the Appalachian Trail, and
yes.
Chris has section hiked. We've worked the section hike.
Contiguous section hiking of the Pacific Crest Trail. Mm-hmm. So longest one finished. Being a 1,200-mile section.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. So he did that with me, and then he did. Through hiked it a different year in one season. He hiked with mm-hmm. our daughter through hiked the entire Pacific Crest.
Do you receive a different designation if you through hike versus section hiking?
No, there's absolutely no distinction not. Whatsoever.
Hmm. But you walked the walk.
That's
right.
It.
In fact, we have some friends that he does what we call slack packing. He will do very short sections. I think the longest piece that he's done without, daily support or near daily support was through the Sierras. His wife meets him and, he does day hikes, he does overnights, but there's no distinction. If you look at it says he finished in this year and that's not the point of it is not to, we didn't make no distinction about the fastest known times.
That's really neat. I think that's a great way to look at it.
Well, and ALDA also was very supportive of the family members and friends who are at home, who are not on the trail, who make the mm-hmm. trip happen for the actual hiker. So they're very supportive of those people.
It takes a real community.
And yes.
So a lot of folks who hike, everyone who hikes, I think, has someone who's supporting them in some fashion, whether it's through daily resupply or sending off packages or simply taking care of the house and things while one's away.
Correct.
Right.
And the community of hikers extends through not just those trails, but other long trails. And I think that one of the wonderful things ALDA does really well is disseminate information about long-distance hiking to people who want to get engaged.
Right. And that's becoming the main drive of the mission of ALDA West, what we call the winter rucks. The gathering is the event, the celebration at the end of the hiking season where we recognize the people who have completed hikes, but the rucks are many school sessions, usually all day long in the winter, and information on how to get started, usually examples of what not to do, what to do. We've all learned by what not to do. So we can share some of that.
And so there's an upcoming ruck in Coeur d'Alene this winter, correct?
Well, this Saturday.
No, this winter. The data set is March 3rd. We've always been first. Now we're going to be third after the storm last year. They said, let's put you a little later.
Okay.
So March 3rd, we will have ruck in Coeur d'Alene.
And that will be mini workshops on how to do different aspects, breaking down the process, because there's the preparation, there's the navigation on the trail, there's picking the correct trail for your time frame and your disposition. There are all kinds of different components, and those kind of things are broken down in the March ruck.
It's a wonderful opportunity for people who are new to the adventure of long-distance hiking to learn more, see if it's right for them, but also those who might have a little seasoning behind them but want to learn more about a specific trail or what's current in state of gear or other things.
Correct, right.
Correct.
But this fall, or this Saturday, rather, is the Fall Hiker Fest.
The Hiker Fest. Actually, it started here in Sandpoint 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Last year, we took a hiatus due to too many busy people. But Donna Walker picked it up this year from Spokane. And it's what I call a show and tell. We're not trying to teach anything. For those that are old enough, it's like the old travelogue where these are our hikes, and we have four or five folks that very experienced. I know two of them personally. I've hiked with both of them. We've got Wolverine, Chris Hillier. We met him in 2011 on the Appalachian Trail, hiked with him for a week or so and lost contact, and met him at the end of the trail, and we have not lost contact since. I've hiked a good chunk of the Continental Divide. We started and finished the Continental Divide together. And kept in touch. He did the Israeli National Trail this year.
So that's what he'll be presenting on?
That and the Golan Heights. Hmm. You said that's more current history than, because everything going on.
Yeah.
So we'll be hearing experienced hikers maybe presenting photos and giving presentations about interesting hikes.
Correct.
Long hikes.
And these will all be current. These were all in the last 12 months hikes. Yeah. So this is not something dusted off the shelf. These are very current.
Tell us about some of the other presentations.
All right. Well, and then there's our mutual friend, Beads, Laura Talaga, Dr. Talaga. She's a veterinarian in Spokane. She is going to present on the Pacific Northwest Trail. She is a Triple Crown recipient also.
So that's right here through Sandpoint's turf.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Came through this area, just north of here.
Yep, just north of here. A lot of folks here are real familiar with the Pacific Northwest Trail, having done part of it or
section.
Be aware of it.
Right. And then another local one is Wonder Woman. That's Heather, I think I've got it right, Hurtado. And now here's somebody who is a novice. She This was her first real hike, and she did the Appalachian Trail, and in a very respectable time. I mean, not that you have to hurry, but she was done before September.
So she was a novice going in, but not a
novice going in. And she's local. She's from Coeur d'Alene. And she's closer to our age. I won't say anything, Lord. Leave that to your imagination.
But, so she's almost retired.
Yes.
Possibly.
But for those of us who've maybe done a week-long or a 10-day hike, it might be inspiring to hear from her.
Right. Well, and then you didn't mention, they are different ages, many different ages. Beads is much younger. And so I'm impressed that he'll go on with more names, but it's a mixture of men and women hikers. There's an age variety. It's local U.S. trails, international trails, a lot of different things.
Yeah, the typical through hiker is not typical. It really is an activity that appeals to a broad range of folks.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that's inspirational about going to hiker gatherings or festivals like this is folks get to see what a wide range of people pursue this.
So right. Who else?
Another local, I believe I've got this right. I think that Dirty Bowl, that's Gretchen Matt is going to speak on the Florida National Scenic Trail. And if I'm not mistaken, she's a triple and maybe the double triple, maybe a double. So those are the local people. And then we have FEMA Gelman, Tripod is his trail name. Oh, the funny names that you hear are trail names that, you know, my name's Bob. And if you meet me on the trail, you know, you know me as Beaker, because Bob, you meet four or five of them, and then it's Bob whom? Well, you know, the tall one. Well, there are three of us, you know. So we have trail names. And Dirty Bowl, the Florida National Scenic Trail is very interesting.
Yeah, it's a long trail, almost 1,000 miles, but I think the high point is 18 feet above sea level.
Something like that. So
the elevation profile on that one's pretty steady.
Right.
And maybe a different trail going forward after everything that's happened this year.
Right. Well, yeah. And see, that's what's happening with the Pacific Northwest Trail. It's becoming the trail. You hike the trails that are so well traveled that they're kind of like driving the freeway at rush hour anymore. And so people are looking for other ones. We went down and did the part of the Arizona Trail this spring, and it was amazing to hike for days and not see anybody. And the PNT is becoming that, a little more challenging.
There are a lot of trails out there that are less well-known, and that's one of the nice things that All the West does is provide some resources on what trails are available. I just came back from Arkansas, and who knew there was a 220-mile-long National Scenic Trail that starts in Oklahoma and runs across Arkansas, the Washita Trail.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. On our website, I'm not sure if we still have. We had a map of the trails and a list, and we keep getting requests. People say, "Oh, well, we're doing this trail," and once they give us the information, we put that up too. And right now, the list—I think last time I did it was about 50, 60 trails.
Quite a resource.
Yeah. So, give us the details for the event this Saturday. The who, what, where, when, how, and how much.
Okay. The event starts early. I believe that it starts at 8 a.m. and it'll go to 4.
Yes. 8 a.m.
And we will be done by 4 because we have to clear out for evening service. It's at the Lake City Church on Ramsey Road, 6000 North. It's right across from Lake City High School.
In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
And it's in the first large building. If you come in to the parking lot, it's the first large building. It's a lot of parking for us. We've got everything we need, the projectors. Food is going to be provided. We are bringing homemade soup and lunch material, salads and snacks. So trying to keep it down. It's $20 for this event. There are some expense at getting both Wolverine and Tripod here because they're from back east. And I've heard Wolverine speak at a presentation, and he's worth going to. And Tripod does this, I guess, frequently. I'm looking forward to
those. Do folks need to sign up in advance, or can they show up at
the door? We prefer signing up in advance. You can go to aldahwest.org and aldahawest.org.
And those letters come from American Long Distance Hikers Association West.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you can use the letters to Google.
But you use the letters with the webpage.
Right, you can use the letters and register. We will take anybody that comes at the door.
Sure.
Afterwards, we are going to have a social gathering at Fedora's. So everybody that comes is invited to come to that.
That will be a no host.
No host.
So, yes, you'll pay your own meals.
Well, it's been wonderful having you on. I always love talking about hiking. I know Julie does too.
I do too. My only question that I wasn't able to ask is, why not backpacking food?
to be served on Saturday?
Ooh.
See, you're not a long distance hiker. The first thing you get into town is non-backpacking food.
So. I've shown my inexperience.
That's what you'll learn at the Brook.
Right, right.
Yes. One time we fixed a backpacking meal at home.
Yes.
And the mantra is never never again fix trail food at home.
Just not done.
Well, thank you for coming in this morning, Bob, Chris. Look forward to the weekend. I'm planning on coming down. So
good. Great. We hope to see lots of others.
Should
Saturday.
Be a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short music break, and then Julie and I will be back with some community calendar and other upcoming events. For right now, we're going to listen to a little Matthew Wilder, Break My Stride. It kind of seemed like appropriate, although we don't necessarily always want to break our stride when we're hiking. Sometimes you need to speed up or slow down. Matthew Wilder, Break My Stride. Appropriate for a hiking themed show?
I think so.
Yeah. How fun was that?
It was fun. It's so great to think about and talk about long hikes. What a true adventure.
It is. Well, let's talk about some other adventures. The morning show adventure for the rest of this week. Coming up tomorrow, join hosts Chris Bessler and Susie Perez. Their guest tomorrow will be Janelle Pfeiffer from the Understory Coffee. She's the organizer of the upcoming Doggy Costume Contest, benefiting Panhandle Animal Shelter. Now, it doesn't specifically say that's a Halloween themed thing, but I'm suspecting it might be. It's October, right?
Yes, I'll have to speak with Dexter about that.
On Thursday, join hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. Their guest will be Nancy Jenkins from Panhandle Health, who will be talking about their upcoming fundraiser, Change for Change. That's at 8 a.m. right here at 88.5 KRFY, Community Radio for North Idaho.
And next Tuesday, we're going to be joined by Laura Wolf from Fish and Game, and she's going to be telling us about a recent elk mortality study. That should be very interesting.
Yeah, she and Barb Moore, who are biologists, co-authored the report. Some really interesting data there. They're going to get into not just the data, but what does it all mean?
True.
Then next week after that, on Wednesday, Chris and Susie will be Local Decision 2017, interviews with the Sandpoint City Council candidates, and I think there's quite a few of them, so it should be a pretty packed room.
Really one folks should tune in for if you're interested in our local politics. And I do want to recommend that you all listen to Bernie Mosher if you get a chance, both tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, and also the following. Really great music selections if you're up early from 5 to 7.
Rounding out the schedule next Thursday, October 12th, will be hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy and their guest Debbie Love from the Bonner County Food Bank. So,
lots of interesting upcoming shows.
Right. And if you are interested in more, you can find out more about our upcoming shows at KRFY.org and look for our fourth quarter program schedule, morning shows and more, such as Bernie Mosher.
Yes, really.
We also have some fun stuff coming up. Don't we have an online auction, Julie, coming up soon?
Well, yes, we do, Phil, and it's beginning on October 14th and running through the 22nd. This is our fall fundraising campaign, and you can really begin shopping now. You can go to biddingforgood.com, or is it .org? I believe it's .com, and you'll be able to go to the KRFY Community Radio auction and look at preview. Go ahead and preview some of the items, and there are some really good ones.
I was scanning through it, and a special note to a special someone, there's a 20-pound organic carrot package in there, I believe.
Yes, and there's also a 10-pound wild salmon package. So if you're into food, natural, healthy food, this would be a great thing to take a look at.
Are there any bottles of wine to go with it?
Oh, maybe so. I'm just sort of paging through, and I'm sure there are, but it's not in the first page or two. But there are overnight lodging opportunities. There are gift certificates to local restaurants, 41 South, Baxter's, original artwork. Just an interesting array of really neat things that you could bid on from our local community cruises. Workshops. I want to thank Diane Green from Green Tree Naturals for contributing a workshop. The list goes on. And even, paddleboard rentals, all kinds of interesting things. So please go online to Bidding for Good. Look it up and consider bidding. It'll help us, and you'll get some really neat swag.
Yeah, lots of events coming up, too. As busy as our area is, it just continues right on in through October. This evening, if you are interested, there's a screening of Screenagers. The Sandpoint Waldorf School and the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force host a showing of the documentary Screenagers, Growing Up in the Digital Age. That's at 6 p.m. at the Panda Theater. This film explores the relationship of adolescents to their screen devices. And so to shift that energy to the outdoors, tomorrow at the Panda is Outdoor Idaho, Almost Canada. It's another free showing by Outdoor Idaho. If you watch PBS, you've seen them.
Yes, and just a note to folks that are listening, if you want to attend that and there's still room, you need to get in touch with them. You need to go sign up in advance.
Yeah, it's free, but they do ask for a pre-registration. You can go to their website and sign up. Almost Canada will explore the relationship of the area, actually north of here, between where we are and the Canadian border. It's really a fascinating film. So moving in towards the weekend, we have, of course, the Fall Hiker Fest. We just had Bob and Chris Turner on talking about that. And it's a busy weekend with lots of outdoor activities. Kind of a last blast, I think, if the snowstorms do start to move in. A lot of people will spend this weekend out hiking or fishing, perhaps.
Perhaps.
On the 14th, the Kaleidoscope Volunteer Training Workshop will be going on, a hands-on volunteer training class for the Kaleidoscope Art Program will be held 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Sandpoint High School Art Room on Division Street. For more information, call 208-263-6139. What do you have planned for this coming weekend?
Well, rather than let you all know what I have planned, I'd like to invite all listeners this morning to the new rescheduling of the KRFY Adopt a Highway pickup. And that's, even though it's not next week, it's a couple of weeks out, I'd like you all that are available and willing to put that on your schedule, October 28th at 1 p.m. So
28th or 29th?
Let's just check. 28th. Or did we say 28th. The 29th?
28th. Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
Saturday the 28th in the afternoon, 1 p.m. And for more information or to sign up, how can they do that?
You can go online and it'll be on our schedule.
Yeah, we always like the Adopt the Highway programs, don't we?
Yes, especially the outdoor show.
So this weekend we have Radical Reels is coming through on Saturday night. That's a must-see for those who are into outdoor adventure. There's lots of places you can get more information on that. Probably the best place to go is to the Canada's website. Also, the 14th, this is a busy, busy Saturday, the Queen Bee Drag Show and Costume Contest, which will be held at the Eagles Club, a fundraiser for them every year. And you can get more information about that by going to their Facebook page.
Sounds like an adults-only show.
You know, things get interesting as we move towards Halloween, and Julie and I are working on some kind of special Halloween show.
Yes, stay tuned.
We've got a few things in the fire, but if anyone has any suggestions, please feel free to text me at 208-946-9127. And we're looking for some of those special ghouls and goblins who can make life so interesting for us all.
That's right.
So we're going to go out with a song by Neil Diamond, who had his first number one song as a performer. He had written songs for the Monkees that hit number one before this, but his first number one song as a performer in 1971 was
Cracklin' Rosie, a personal favorite of my deceased mother, but it brings back great memories for me. Told Phil I would try not to tear up while I talked about this song.
So we're going to dedicate this to Julie's mom.